Nearly 40 years after the death of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the museum at the site of his assassination in Memphis is in the midst of a dispute. The board that runs the National Civil Rights Museum is fighting allegations that its corporate members have too much power and have shut out members of the community. NPR's Audie Cornish has this story.
The hymn Precious Lord, sung by Mahalia Jackson, loops without end at the Lorraine Motel where Dr. King was assassinated in 1968.
Precious Lord, linger near.
The teal and white two-story motel remains the same on the outside, with linen curtains shifting in the second floor windows and the neon sign blinking out front. But everything inside has been gutted and remodeled as exhibit space for the National Civil Rights Museum. Everything but room 306, where King was staying the night of his murder in Memphis.
You'll see glasses, and you'll see a milk carton. You'll see a bed that's partially made up. You can actually look into the area that was the restroom. You see a newspaper on the bed, the Pressimeter, which no longer exists.
Museum director Beverly Robertson says some 2 million people have streamed past this glass wall since the museum opened 16 years ago. She's a staunch defender against critics who complain that the foundation board running the museum is too corporate and too white.
We've got corporate people that are on the board of this museum, but if you look at the boards of their own corporations, you'll find probably few if any blacks. And so it's a disconnect.
That's DeArmy Bailey, a circuit court judge, museum founder, and once ousted president. Recently, when the private foundation that runs the museum asked the state to extend its lease for 50 years rent-free, Bailey and the others fought the move. The state, the group complained, was on the verge of giving the site away to a virtually private group with too few representatives from the civil rights movement, too many corporate voices, and uneven abilities in handling maintenance and programming.
And that's the way these people have remained in control. So what I'm saying is that it shouldn't just be history under glass. I didn't envision that this thing would just be a facility where folks go and look at the past. My idea in building that museum was to provide a facility that could incite and stir people to action.
Bailey sees the control of the museum as an issue of self-determination, but not everyone agrees with that interpretation.
Well, I don't think there's anything at stake at the museum itself, but I think there is a discussion about should there be an activist institution or a more passive museum type institution.
Gregory Duckett is a board member with the Lorraine Civil Rights Museum Foundation and an executive with Baptist Memorial Healthcare Systems.
Where I find my frustration, however, is when one tries to criticize the museum for something it never was designed to be. And it was never designed to be an activist institution.
And museum director Beverly Robertson says many members of the museum board are in fact heirs to King's legacy.
A lot of people who are on our board who have jobs in corporate America are African Americans who come from the hood, who've just been successful and are continuing to be successful in their lives. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Both Robertson and Duckett concede the board could have done a better job reaching out to the community, but it looks like they're getting a second chance. A new agreement with the state will allow them a 20-year lease, but state officials will take over major maintenance, and the museum's board must agree to hold annual public meetings and increase its African-American membership. Audie Cornish, NPR News.